This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
503, I'm Rob Archer. Good afternoon. Things are improving in the fight against the mountain fire, but it is not over yet. The first salvos fired between Gavin Newsom and Donald Trump. But first, the LAPD has a new chief. The city council voted to confirm former LA County Sheriff Jim McDonald. Two city council members voted no. One of them, Eunice Hernandez, raised concerns at the council meeting today about McDonald's record of working with the feds.
Let's say there's ICE vehicles in MacArthur Park. Let's say LAPD has someone in their vehicle. So they're not, you know, they might be detained. They're not fully arrested. They're not in our jail. What is the scenario then if I says, you know what? I want you to give me that individual that's in the back of your police car. What is LAPD going to do then?
Yeah, no, if they're in our custody, if they're in the back seat of the car, they're in our custody one way or the other. However they got there, they're not going to be handed over to ICE. We don't hand people over to ICE. That's the bottom line on that. The first part of your question was around
LAPD joining federal task force.
We don't join federal task forces for immigration enforcement, and we won't do that in the future. We are on a number of federal task forces that address criminal issues, organized crime, transnational crime, human trafficking. I could go on and on. We're on those task forces, and we get a lot of bang for the buck and being able to help the community on that. But as far as being on a task force specifically for immigration enforcement, no.
Even if the administration asks you to join it?
No. This is the city of LA. We're guided. I work for the commission, the mayor, and work with the council. No, our rules are very clear that we don't stop people for purposes of finding out their immigration status. We don't arrest them for purposes of that. We're going to continue doing business the way we have been doing business in that regard.
USC President Carol Folt made a surprising announcement. She's stepping down as president, though she's going to remain on the faculty. Natalie Tavidian reports.
USC President Carol Folt announced that she'll be stepping down at the end of the 2024-25 academic year after 5 years on the job. So that'll be in July of next year. She stepped in after multiple scandals rocking the campus, including a doctor accused of sexually abusing students, bribery charges against a former dean. She also faced criticism from students over the handling of pro-Palestinian protests and the cancellation of the main stage graduation ceremony. I spoke with several students on campus.
I was surprised. I wasn't expecting to hear that today.
You know, I never really had too much of a strong opinion on Carol Folt until the Palestine protest in the spring. So, yeah, after that point, I wasn't a huge fan of hers. You know, not too upset with finding out that she's retiring.
Businessman Rick Caruso, who's on USC's Board of Trustees, tells KNX Folt is a great leader.
6 years is a good full term. It's bittersweet. I hate to see her go, but she's been a transformational leader for the university. I take great pride in the work that she's done. She's really brought USC back from a very tough place with all the scandals and put us on a great trajectory, which the university is benefiting from now.
Caruso said this wasn't the board's decision. This was strictly Folt's decision. At USC, I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Firefighters still hard at work containing the big fire in Ventura County. Fire Captain Tony McHale says the winds died down. The weather conditions are a lot more favorable.
That means we're going to try to get those containment lines in. We're going to deal with hot spots. We're going to mop up and salvage and overhaul and the affected structures. There was, tragically, a number of homes that were destroyed. We're still working on that to find out a definitive number. But basically, on a windshield estimate, from what I saw in the field, it's going to be a significant number of homes that were affected.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the number of homes now more than 130, nearly 90 have been damaged. That fire kicked off Wednesday morning in Somas. It spread rapidly because of high Santana winds to Camarillo Heights. It burned through some neighborhoods there. People had to get out of their homes very quickly, didn't have a lot of time. Evacuation orders in the area still in effect, and it is not clear at this point when they are going to be lifted. And a lot of homes did burn down. Yes, there are some people, though, who returned home to find out that their houses were completely intact. John Baird talked to a man named Chad, who was one of the lucky ones.
So how are you doing today? How are you feeling? What's going on with your property?
Our property's fine. We got lucky. By the grace of God and very brave firefighters, our property's fine. And our next door neighbors across the street and next door is 100% loss. And the neighbor on one side is fine, too. So a lot of it is just good fortune and
luck.
And luck, yeah, the wind direction, all that stuff. But
embers, maybe.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yes, sir.
So You must have been really, really anxious. I would have been worried.
Well, no, we haven't slept in a while, so I'm not sure I'm a very good interview subject at the moment.
So, you're in your home?
We're totally fine. Well, there's no water. You can't you can't even flush your toilet. It's
any power?
There's no power. No.
Okay. So, obviously you're going to live in it because you can.
Well, and then there's some concern. I know the police mentioned possible looting. So I want someone to be in the house. At least at night until the power's back on and everything.
Have you ever been through one of these?
No, not like this. Not so close to home. I've lived in Camarillo for, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years, long time. But anyway, this is the closest it came to a direct hit on me, for sure.
Well, Donald Trump appointed three justices to the Supreme Court during his first term, and there is a possibility he could appoint more when he returns to the White House. We're going to dig into that. It's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.
Election 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And Governor Newsom expanding on his plans to fight back against the incoming Trump administration. He's been talking over the past hour at a campaign event online.
We have a president-elect, and I'm one of those people. I revere the institution. I revere this country. I revere the presidency. And I want our president to succeed. And our job, my job, is not to wake up every single day and get a crowbar and try to put it in the spokes of the wheel of the Trump administration. And so, again, in that spirit of an open hand, not a closed fist, that's how we want to proceed. That said, fourth point, I'm not naive either. And we're pragmatic. And we will stand firm. I am reminded, there's that great old poem about, the winds may howl, but I will not be swept away. This notion that we have to plant our feet. And I remember, I've been here long enough, having worked with the previous Trump administration, I'm not naive about those winds. And they did howl. We were involved in we were involved in specifically 122 lawsuits with the Trump administration. We know their playbook. We know what they're going to do. I talked a lot about the campaign, and I appreciated Kamala Harris's closing message about Donald Trump has an enemies list, and she said, have a to-do list. I said I would make it a modest addendum to that. So did Donald Trump. That to-do list is laid out in a 922-page document, of which there's 270 specific points that he has publicly supported in that Project 2025. Document, which 75% of its authors, and there's a multitude of authors, worked with the Trump administration. None of us are naive when he said he knew nothing about it. That is a to-do list. That is a playbook. The Heritage Foundation and others backing that playbook. You build on that, you cross-reference it to the 122 actions that we had to take as a state. I was talking to the governor-elect now, the former AG up in Washington State, Bob Ferguson. He was involved in 99 lawsuits just up in Washington State alone. We are not naive about what to anticipate. And that's why I wanted to communicate to you, particularly those of you here in California, those of you that care about California, a state larger than 21 state populations combined that in many respects is a tentpole for the American economy. But we believe American democracy, and I don't say that arrogantly or naively, but again, with grace and humility and respect. But I think there's a lot of onus that's placed upon California because the size, scale, and scope of this state, that we need to assert ourselves, and we need to prepare ourselves firmly and plant, as I say, our feet. At peril, we get swept away. I am not here to romanticize this moment by any stretch, and that's why we are calling and have called for an emergency special session of our state legislature, firmly focused on the values we hold dear that I think are universal values and American values as it relates to freedoms and individual liberty, as it relates to the issues of reproductive freedom in particular. We're not going to shrink, and we're not going to shy or fall prey to the rhetoric around demeaning and belittling vulnerable communities, scapegoating vulnerable communities. We're going to have their back. We're going to have your back even if you don't live in the state of California, we're going to have your back. We're going to assert ourselves from a position, not just authority as the fifth largest economy in the world, but a position, and I say that in the context of formal authority, but in the position of moral authority.
It's Governor Newsom this afternoon at a last-minute online campaign event talking about, in his view, protecting the state from Donald Trump's next administration. Donald Trump earlier today posting on a Truth Social social media platform, Governor Gavin Newsom, using that name that he likes to use against him, is trying to kill our nation's beautiful California. Donald Trump goes on to say, for the first time ever, more people are leaving than are coming in. He's using the term Trump-proof as a way of stopping all of the great things that can be done to make California great again, but I just overwhelmingly won the election. Donald Trump firing back at Governor Gavin Newsom, who says he wants to Trump-proof California. When it's all said and done, it is possible Donald Trump's going to have appointed more than half of the Supreme Court justices in his next administration. We're going to dig into the ramifications of that coming up. But right now, now that Donald Trump's headed back to the White House, there is a chance he could select more Supreme Court justices. In fact, that's very likely. He picked three of them in his first term, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. With Republicans set to take back control of the Senate, there would be no barrier to blocking any of Trump's potential nominees. The Democrats would have no power to do so. Newport Beach constitutional scholar John Hsu worked in the George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush White Houses. He follows the Supreme Court closely.
I wouldn't be surprised if Justice Alito, who's in his mid-70s, and Justice Thomas, who's 76, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they decide to step down, retire.
And right there, that would give Trump a chance to select two new justices. There is a report from Politico that Democrats are talking about whether to call on 70-year-old Justice Sonia Sotomayor to immediately resign so that they can pick a replacement before the new Senate session starts in January. Hsu calls that a terrible insult to Sotomayor.
Yes, Justice Sotomayor is older. And yes, she's had diabetes type 1. But that's insane to use that as an excuse, because she's had diabetes type 1 since she was a child, right? It's a juvenile disease. So she's had it for a long time. She's only 70. She's younger than Alito and Thomas. I get it. You know, the left wing is still in some degree of shock because of Justice Ginsburg's passing. You know, she did not want to retire under President Obama, and she ended up passing away when President Trump was in office.
Hsu says even if Sotomayor steps down, there is little chance a new justice would be picked and confirmed by the Senate before early January.
I don't see how it is logistically possible to, number one, force Sotomayor to retire, and number two, be able to nominate a successor and get that person confirmed before January 20th. Now, I understand the Democrats control the Senate now, and I suppose you could ramrod certain things through. But just the logistics of, you know, vetting the nominee and preparing questions for him or her, et cetera, I don't know. I think logistically it would be extremely difficult. And again, just the basic fact of pressuring a sitting justice, It's extremely offensive. It's offensive as a person, and it's offensive to the Constitution. You know, we grant judges lifetime appointments so that they are immune to public pressures.
Democrats also considering focusing their remaining time while they have the Senate leadership on the appointment of lower court judges waiting to be confirmed. 5:20. Time for Your Money. Here's Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Bank of America, the nation's second largest lender, began informing employees today it'll require them to take nearly all legal disputes with the bank into private arbitration, just like a lot of Wall Street's leading banks have done for years, to resolve workplace conflicts outside the courts, outside the glare of the media. Critics say all that does is keep misbehaving bankers under wraps. Consumer sentiment at the highest level since April right now. That's on optimism about the economy and personal finances. Americans also expecting inflation to continue to slow, and that gave Wall Street a big lift today, along with the Fed lowering interest rates again yesterday. All the major averages closing at fresh record highs. The Dow today up 260 points. The Nasdaq added 17. The S&P up 22. And the machinist strike is over, but it was a big blow to cash-strapped jetmaker Boeing. It's facing a $58 billion pile of debt. Now it's looking into selling off its Jepson Interactive Flight Plan and Navigation Unit. I'm Bloomberg's Tom Busby, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news and fine for Friday, November 8th, presented by my Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.